It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chester.
Yes, the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here. It's season 3, episode 2. And remember, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or online at oceanfm.ie. Simply search Ocean FM Ireland. The show will also be on FM with Austin O'Callaghan on Sunday Sport between 2 and 7. Now, a very special guest this week. Remember this guy?
Looked in for Boyle. It meant brilliant. Tony Boyle, what a player, what a forward. He is back, and with him, Donegal.
Manus Boyle feeding it back here. Tony Boyle to Manus, I should say. Now Tony once again. He's kicked it well, and he's kicked it truly, and he's put it over the bar.
Tony Boyle and Cluchan Leah. As they say, the word legend is thrown around far too much. Tony, you certainly are a DL legend. How are you doing?
Not so bad, Paddy. Delighted to join you.
Good man. I was going to ask you how's lockdown going, but I think you're the only man in Ireland who has a camera phone in the bog taking videos of older men fought in turf. Is that true, Tony?
I get a bit of stick for that, Paddy, right, that I'm standing about taking pictures of my 86-year-old father cutting turf and fronting turf. But it gets us out of the house and it keeps us active during the lockdown.
We'll talk it in a while about the changes in Gaelic football and sport in general, but I would imagine if there's camera phones in the bog, Tony, things have definitely changed in the last 20 years or so.
Absolutely. It's changed times. When I started playing, Paddy, there was no such thing as social media. The minute everyone seems to be an expert on the game, you know, but I think there were more simpler times back then.
Yeah, sure. And it's great to have you on, Tony. Listen, how has the last year been for you? What, you're working as a sales rep, is it? So where are you based? Are you based at home now, or what's the story?
I work for Keypoint of Breezes Limited. They're based in Dublin, but I would be a sales rep based out of home, based out of Keju here in Donegal. Listen, we've been off the road. We're still working, doing everything over the phone, email, stuff like that, you know. So, listen, it's been difficult, like for everyone else, but we're very, very fortunate. I'm very fortunate where I live. I'm 50 o'clock at 850 metres from the Atlantic Ocean down here in Keju. So, listen, it's great for us. We can go out in the evenings and get down and walk across the beaches that we have beside us, whereas people stuck in cities, a lot more difficult for them. But listen, we're delighted to be back up and running with the club, and hopefully to get the kids out now this week and get back at it.
Yeah, sure. And you've on your lovely Aunt Cluchan Leah t-shirt there as well. Tony, a lot of things I want to talk to you about. You're known nationally as Tony Boyle, the GAA player. And I suppose, look, when I started going to Donegal matches around 93, 94, 95, I had no idea that there's this other Tony Boyle, and that's Tony Boyle, the soccer player, and that's what you were heavily immersed in.
Oh, absolutely. Paddy, as I said, the family here, we're based in Keju. We're less than a mile away from the Keju Rovers football pitch. So my father would have been heavily involved with the club. Older brother Ben would have been former chairman. Younger brother James, currently co-chairman. We'd have all played for the club, the four of us. Me and the three brothers would have played at the one time for a season. So listen, very, very heavily involved and played a lot of underage. Donegal youth team. I was playing with the Donegal youth soccer team at the same time that I was playing with the Donegal minor team, and there used to be an odd Saturday, there'd be a clash, and it was absolute turmoil because, listen, when you're 17, 18, you want to be playing, you play every game, you know. But listen, it changed when I got the call for the seniors. I would have been playing with Keju, played colleges football, but when I got the call for the senior, Donegal seniors then, it sort of changed. But I still continued to do a bit with Keju whenever I could.
And what, you were Donegal League player? I know James was supposed to be really good. He was in the books at
Derry City, wasn't he, under Felix Healy? And you won Donegal League Player of the Year 87, 88 or 88, 89. So you were a dab handy soccer player.
I like to remind them soccer men, Paddy or Eight. I was actually young player, Donegal Young Player of the Year in 87, 88, and senior player in 88, 89. So Alison, I was very lucky. I came into a Cager team that was very competitive. I think we won. Our biggest challengers at the time was the great Hugh Campbell's Ardra team, and we won four out of five titles. Ardra won we won in 88, 89, 1990, 1991, and then they won one and we won another two. So listen, it was brilliant. It was a great team to be part of. I suppose the big advantage for me, I was probably one of only maybe two guys that was actually playing Gaelic as well. So anytime I had to go playing Gaelic, they didn't miss me that much, so because they had an out and out soccer team. But listen, great times and some some great battles with some great soccer players all through. Managed to play a season or a league campaign with Fanad United as well in 91. It was another good experience. So listen, really, really enjoyed the soccer any chance I got to play it.
They would have been at their zenith back then as well, and at a very high standard. I'm going to cut you across there. It wasn't Hugh Campbell's Ardrad. He was better known as the Roman Abramovich of Southwest Donegal. Campbell's Galacticos. They talk about the globalization of football now. I would say there was 1 year. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure there was any Ardrad players even on the team. They were going as far as Ballyshannon and up the Rosses, and I think they were going as far as Strabane. That was some team.
You spread the net very, very wide, to be fair to me. But a great character, and it was great for the league at the time as well. We had some mighty battles with them. You know, it was brilliant, brilliant times.
You were on a couple of trips continent as well, Brian Kerr. What was that, schoolboys or third level?
In 88, I remember we went to Germany just shortly after the Donegal youth soccer team. We went to Germany after the Euros and played a tournament over there. Now, unfortunately, it clashed with a semi-final of the championship back in at home, and I missed out on that. I was only 17 at the time, but I was still playing senior football with Dunlow. They lost to Kilcare. And the following year, in 89, then I was in the Irish colleges squad. Brian Kerr was manager, and myself and Harry Walsh, and Harry, and there was another great soccer player from Dunlow. Unfortunately, he passed away in a car accident in America some years back, Paddy Sweeney. The three of us were from the Letterkenny IT at the time, and we went to Amsterdam for a tournament. Now, I don't remember much, Paddy, about the football, but I'll tell you, the Amsterdam trip was an eye-opener from a young fella from Keju back out of the sticks now, so it was memorable times.
I'd say you have a few good stories from Amsterdam, Tony.
They're not for this show, Paddy, no.
Harry Walsh might tell me an Ardra when we eventually get back to the bars. And like at that age, like 15, 16, 17, look, word has it, and I was even talking to Mark Forker during the week, and he was saying like the older guys down your neck of the woods would say you were a fantastic soccer player. Like, were you thinking at that time that perhaps it was going to be a career in it?
No, probably not, Paddy, because I, even back then, you know, bar Packy Boner, there was very few that made the leap across. It was difficult sort of coming from a side of the county, whereas now nearly there's young guys going across for trials every other week. But I was just happy to be playing. Like, listen, as I said, I would be playing maybe Gaelic on a Saturday night, soccer on a Sunday. Some days we'd be playing two games on the one day and just mad keen, you know. But at the time I was playing Donegal youth soccer, I was also playing, you know, I played under 16 for the county, minor for the county, under 21. But as I said, listen, once the senior call came I was lucky enough to get myself established fairly quickly into the senior team, and you know, that was the end of any soccer career.
You were brought into the panel by McInniff, was it, in 89, but you didn't make your debut, was it, until 1990?
Yeah, I was actually I was in America in the summer of 89, and Brian had contacted me to see when I was coming back, and I was telling him I was coming back, I think it was around September time, but that was the old National League, so there was three games before Christmas, and that's why I came back. And listen, I wouldn't have been in the best shape coming back from a summer in America, so I went up to watch one of the matches. I think they played Armagh, and the funny thing about it, Paddy, is, listen, I only, apart from that Armagh game in 89, I only ever seen Donegal seniors once in my life. I remember my dad took me up to watch the Centenary Cup match, I think, against Kerry, and listen, any day Donegal was playing, I would have been away playing with Cage, so I wouldn't have been at any game. So when I came into the squad, myself and Noel Hegarty, Mark McShane, and Frank Ward were called in early 1990 from the under 21 squad. So tonight I would have known some of the names, but I wouldn't have known a lot about it, you know. But now, listen, it was difficult. The other three guys didn't stay, and they didn't stay on that year. But I managed to stick it out. A lot of it would have come down to the help of Declan. You know, Declan would have been very friendly with my older brother Ben, and listen, he took me under his wing, and we used to travel to train together. John Connors from Dunlow was in the squad at the time, so listen, I stuck it out, and listen, I'm glad I did, because as I said, I didn't play in any of the league games, didn't play in any of the championship games. Actually, I nearly never played at all, because I remember McEnough told me the week before the first championship match against Cavan, I was working in Galway at the time, wasn't going to make it up during the week, that I wasn't starting in the start on the first 15. Was definitely one of the subs coming on. So we headed for Galway. No mobile phones. You had to wait to pick up the paper on the Wednesday morning. The team was named. I wasn't in the first 15, but didn't mind. So I knew I was going to be in the squad. But on the way to the match, Niall was chairman at the time. My old national school teacher picked me up and told me that, listen, good news, you're talking out today. I was thinking to myself, well, Jesus, no fine, I'm talking out. Sure, I was nearly starting, but now since you're not in the, at the back of that time, you could name nine subs, but only six were actually on the panel. Another three were fit to talk out, but they couldn't get playing. Niall told me that I wasn't one of the six, but I was one of the three. And I was only less than a mile from the house, and I was very, very close to telling Niall, stop the car. Because in my mind, Cadhu had a match, and listen, I wanted to play a game of football, no matter what it was. But listen, thankfully, I bit me lip and went on. Didn't play in the semi. Didn't play against. We played Cavan. Didn't play in that match. We beat Derry easy enough in the semi final. Didn't get a run out in that either. And then the final against Armagh, it was a tight match. Tommy Ryan, to be fair, was doing reasonably well, but he started to tire in the second half, and I could see McEnough looking into the dugout, and I made sure I caught his eye and got up. He told me to warm up, and I was up and down and under the old huddle at the time, sweltering hot day, and I was thinking, this man's going to forget to put me on. He's not going to, because to be fair to Brian, he was engrossed in the game. So listen, I took it on myself. I went up to Noreen Doherty and told Noreen, hey, I'm going on for Tommy, and next week in play, how the ball went in, I headed for the referee, and listen, thankfully I did, and the rest to say is history.
That's unbelievable. Like, there was this innate confidence in you that the exuberance of youth.
Listen here, I was just mad to get playing. Hey, Paddy, that was it. Probably didn't, listen, because, as I said, I wasn't a big follower of the Donegal senior team and didn't realise the enormity of being involved in an Ulster final. And we hadn't won since 83. They were beat in 89. I was watching it from a bar in America, when I was in America. And listen, followed it, but we didn't really the norm. And the next thing here, I was on, and we managed to beat Armagh by a point. I didn't contribute a lot. Got actually a soccer sliding tackle to keep the ball in play that we got it across to Manus. Manus kicked the one in point. But listen, brilliant, and I very, very fortunate to make my debut as a sub. But that followed on then to make me start debut in All-Ireland semi-final. So a nice place to make a start in Croke Park the following couple of weeks.
I was always told you always played with you. I know young people in general, suppose they come on the scene and there's this kind of a good arrogance, if you like, about it. Do you think, though, that you had soccer and GA at that age, that you could, there was less pressure because if things weren't going, you weren't immersed really in GAA that much growing up in terms of your household. Could you kind of play one off the other? If I wonder subconsciously, were you thinking, well, if you don't play well GAA, I still have soccer and vice versa. Does that make sense?
Possibly, but I think that when you're young, you just don't have them hang-ups. You don't overthink the game too much. Because looking back now, I got a hell of a lot more nervous the older I got, because you started getting doubts. Have you lost a yard or these kind of things. The older you get, the more doubts that creep in. But when you're young, listen, my thing was the bigger the crowd, the bigger the occasion, the more I loved it. I remember that Ulster final. And it wouldn't be because I'd be conscientious about my gear and double checking it, but I actually landed to the Ulster final in Clones that day, and I'd forgotten my boots. But lucky enough, John Connors, John, the club mate, John was injured, got injured in the semi-final, and I wore John's boots for the semi-final, but it was just, or for the final. But listen, the bigger the occasion, and Paddy, the guy was one of the lucky ones. I came on the scene where Donegal, when Donegal were very successful, they were involved in Ulster final from 89 right through to 93. We were in a couple of league semi-finals, league finals, and I thought, you know, this must be what it's like all the time, and it was great. But then, listen, we hit the Barnes bell after 94. But I just loved it, you know, to get to Croke Park, and I was lucky enough to play in Croke Park in a vocational school All Ireland semi final in 87. So I did have a taste of it. But it was, listen, once you got out there, it was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and I saw your interview with Chris McNulty, and you just mentioned, I was just reading about it. It was a really nice piece. I think it was done about 12, 13 months ago. Like, I mean, you were this young man taking on Mick Lyons, who was this feared monster at the time.
I always remember, Paddy, that week leading up to the match. Again, another one that I nearly, because I had issues from an early age with my knees, and I had a bit of floating cartilage in my knee, in my left knee, around that time. Now, I didn't let on to anyone that I had it, but I remember Brian had told me the week before, the Sunday before the All-Ireland semi-final, that I was going to be starting. So, you know, I did ask him, hey, you can't be changing your mind. He told me that before the first cabin game, and I didn't even make the subs, but he had let me know that I was going to be starting. I think more so for me to get my head around it. But that Sunday evening, I always remember myself and the brother, and just trying to pass a bit of time, I went up to the local snooker hall on Dunlow to play a game of snooker. And whatever way, I was leaning across the table, tore another bit of cartilage in my knee.
Wow.
I came home that night, I couldn't straighten my leg. We're a week, 7 days out from the semi-final against Meath. And I thought, my whole world was going to end. Didn't sleep. But at the time, there was a physio based in Port Salm, a German guy. And I had been at him before. And so on the way to training on Tuesday, I rang Brian, to be fair, to give him a heads up that just in case he had maybe changed the plan for Tuesday. And he says, listen, if you don't train Tuesday, I can't start you, you know. I couldn't walk on Monday. We left early and we headed for Port Salm and before training on Albafay. And I hopped into the physio in Port Salm on the Tuesday evening about 5 o'clock. But I managed to train on the Tuesday night and managed to. Now, again, I would say it was a bit of nerves in the dressing room before the semi-final, you know, going out against Meath and Mick Lyons and all that. But the knee started, it was starting to lock on me again, but I managed to keep the cartilage floating around to get out. But listen, a great experience. As I said, Mick Lyons, again, because Paddy, I didn't have a lot of background in the GAA, you know, I knew who Mick Lyons was, but it wasn't something that, you know, I didn't know enough about him to be fearful of it, you know. And people were ringing that week, wishing me the best, and, you know, don't shake his hand, don't look into his eyes, he'll do this, he'll do that, you know. And I was very fortunate to play against him. He was one of the toughest, never opened his mouth, never had a dirty shot. He hit you with everything he had when you were going for the ball or you were in possession. And unfortunately, didn't get the chance to get up against him again when I was a wee bit more experienced. But I was fortunate to meet him at an All-Star do some years later. And a lovely, lovely gentleman, you know, real, real compared to the guy, his on-field persona, you know, real, real nice guy off the field.
You spoke about 92 so many times. You know, you were such a pivotal part in that. One of Donegal's greatest ever forwards. Tell us about the lead up to that final. I've always heard wives' tales around our draw, that, you know, just late night in the bar. It's something that, in fairness, was fairly kept away from the media. The build up to that All Ireland final, you weren't living like monks, is what I was told. Is that true, Tony?
Well, that's how the best to explain this, Paddy. Hey, listen, it was different times, to be fair, and that's where I feel at the minute the game is, you know, over this last number of years, and it's no fault of the players, it's just got a lot more professional. But back in that day, you know, you'd play your championship match, you'd come back to the Abbey on a Sunday night, you'd have your few pints, you'd mingle with the supporters. To be fair, we do unrest, and God rest them, would shuffle up to you maybe at 2 a.m, you know, you need a room for the night, and you would get a room, and you would maybe go for a few McGorties the following day. But listen, once you were back at training on Tuesday, you were back at training, and you were back switched on. But yeah, before a lot of people don't realise that those were actually 5 weeks between the All-Ireland semi-final and the final. Like, it was when you think back of it now, it was crazy to have that length of time. We were the first semi-final against Mayo. So it was a full 5 weeks. And to be fair, as we know, the county was going mad and tickets and first of all Ireland, and there was serious tension, and training was you know, going really well. We had many of us up because the tension was that high. But we went to Letterkenny to Milford to play a challenge game. There was a memorial match for one of the Barrett boys that were killed in a tragic car accident. So Brian agreed to go down. We'd play a challenge match in Milford, and we came back to stay in the Mount Airy Gun. And this was 2 weeks out from the final, and usual Brian, you know, lads, he's kind of 2 half pints. Brian being a non-drinker, you're never allowed a full pint, but you could have 2 half pints. So we had a private room in the back of the hotel. We had a couple of pints, and listen, that was there was nothing much to it. But as the last few of us were leaving, we were heading back towards where we thought was the bedrooms, but somehow we ended up in the disco. And one looked at another. We had another couple of pints, and we went from there. Then I'm not sure who was the ringleader, but we ended up at a house party for another few hours. But listen, it was just. Hey, it was the tension of the thing. Hey, we blew off a bit of steam, Paddy, and didn't do any harm. But listen, thank God there was no social media or camera phones back then, because it would have been making a fun. There's some pressure if that story broke. But it was just pure tension. And listen, we were back at it on the Tuesday night, and it didn't do us any harm, thank God.
Imagine Brian Fenton, Jack McCaffrey, James McCarthy, and Dean Rock, and that. I'll tell you what this week's prize is. If you can guess the 5 players who was with Tony Boyle at that house party, I think it would have been easier getting the 3 secrets of Fatima. There were great footballers in that team, but some characters in good crack as well, Tony.
Brilliant. We had some brilliant trips. You know, we used to, you know, there was some off, you know, the end of season stuff. We used to play in a tournament in Glasgow. We played 3 years in a row in Glasgow, and I had a lot of family in Glasgow. And it was great. You would get over there for the weekend. And listen, I think it was the Woolly Down competition, but we played Derry, we played Dublin, we played Mayo. The matches were fiercely competitive, like, because obviously, you know, we were one of the top teams going at the time. But you know, the crack on them trips were brilliant, and as you said, we had some great characters in that 92 squad. And as I said, listen, that's the, when I see the players now, and you know, even the way the game's gone, it's really, really gone professional. And I don't think probably the fans now don't know the players as well as maybe they would have known us, because we had the chance maybe to mingle a wee bit better. But listen, it's no fault of the current Donegal setup or this last couple of years. It's just the way the game's gone. You know, there's recovery sessions, you know, there's training, there's tactical stuff and that. And it was a wee bit more simpler back in our day, Paddy, thank God.
Yeah, I think it's a universal thing. Alan Hansen said that couple of years ago, even in soccer, he says, even in the, you know, the mid to late 80s, you actually knew a lot of the fans. And I think there's probably this disconnect now. And as I said, it's not a Donegal thing. It's probably a sporting thing. Just it's people just being pulled apart. So now it's brilliant. Yeah. And though some guys, you done loads of stints in America as well, Tony, didn't you?
Yeah, in 92, Paddy, myself and Anthony Malloy and Declan and Tommy Ryan, we went over to play in the New York Championship shortly after the All-Ireland. It was 2 weekends. The first one was a fairly short weekend. We played a semi-final. I think we flew out on a Friday, played the game on the Saturday evening, and flew back on the Sunday. And then 2 weeks later then, we were penciling to play the final, and the following Sunday we were due to play Kildare in the first National League game as All Ireland champions, and we headed on the Thursday for the final to New York, myself and Declan and Malloy and Tommy, and we were due to come back on the Monday, but we won the championship, which was brilliant. To win the New York championship, we had Paddy Hegarty was based out there, Christy Ray and Tommy's brother came up from Philly with a big Donegal. I think Cookie Meehan from St. Noel's is out with a big Donegal connection, great crack. But unfortunately, the celebrations went on a day longer, and flights were missed on the Monday night, and we didn't get back to Tuesday. I think Wednesday morning. Obviously, missed training on Tuesday night. McInniff wasn't happy, but we managed to make training on the Thursday night, and we managed to get over Kildare in the first game back. So all was happy. McInniff wasn't very happy with us, but again, great trips. I was in Chicago. We spent a summer in Chicago in 94. But I suppose, lucky enough for us, Paddy, we were in them earlier years, you know, you were getting decent runs deep into the championship. So you weren't, you know, you probably didn't get the opportunity that some players got to get to America as often, you know. But listen, I enjoyed the experience, absolutely. But You'd still rather be in the be involved in the championship back at home rather than have to be knocked out and head for the States. But no, good times as well. But again, good characters to be on a trip to New York.
Like Beloy has a good few stories he told me in our draft a few times already about missed flights. I think there could have been more than one missed flight, but listen, brilliant characters. And okay, I heard John O'Tadeny before, and he was telling me, like, you know, or I was listening to that and just talking about 92, how brilliant it was. And then 93 came, Tony, and you missed 93 through injury. And then there came a couple of barren years. 93 must have been a very, very tough one. You didn't play at all that year, did you?
No. Just we played in the league, Paddy, and we were beat in the Dublin beat us in the replayed National League final. And then before the championship, I remember we had a challenge match against Roscommon, down in Roscommon on a Sunday evening. Listen, I got a knee in the back of the shoulder, on the shoulder blade, fairly innocuous, but it was fairly painful at the time, came off, but didn't think much more about it. But I remember I came back up and I had a touch of the flu that weekend as well, and went to bed, and I woke up with just an absolute searing pain in my shoulder, and knew straight away something wasn't right, you know. And listen, make a long story short, I developed the flu, and the virus got into the nerve from the spinal cord into the top of the shoulder, and I lost power in the shoulder. So listen, what started out as an injury, just question or asking doctors, asking Austin Kennedy, you know, how long am I going to be out? Because I, 93, we're defending our All-Ireland title. Listen, I developed into, will I ever get the power back in my arm? Because I had no power from the shoulder down to the elbow. And I remember you were still going to an odd function, you know, underage function, giving out medals and that. And I actually had to hold my right hand, my left hand, to shake people's hands because I had no power from the elbow to the hand. So listen, to be fair to the county board and Brian and Austy, I went to all the best specialists in Dublin. I went to Harley Street in London. I spent a week in Lillyshaw, but unfortunately the type of injury it was, the nerve just healed on its own, and it took the best part of 8 months, which meant that, you know, that 93 season was wiped out. And looking back, that was a major disappointment for me, because obviously the way the 93 also final panned out with other injuries, no was suspended, but you know, I felt that we didn't give it a right, you know, we didn't defend the title like we could have defended it. But listen, that's part and parcel of the game, you get these injuries. I suppose first and foremost, I was happy to get the power back in the shoulder for every, you know, breaks of washing your teeth, shave and stuff like that. You know, I wasn't fit to do that for 6 months.
Wow.
You know, and you're thinking then, but on the back of your mind, you know, football was the big one, and you wanted to get back. And I remember after about 8 months, I was able to get, and I remember the club, we got dispensation from the county board. There was allowed to play a reserve game. We're playing up in Ballyshannon. And I just went and sent the hat back to see how it was. Unfortunately, a young Brian Roper had just landed on the scene. So I spent 60 minutes trying to run after Roper, but it was great to be back in the field. But as I said, 93 was, you know, we definitely felt, Paddy, there was another All-Ireland in that squad, but it wasn't to be, unfortunately.
Henry Downey, I read a piece with Henry Downey before, I think it was Jerome Quinn's Ulster books back in 94, 95, and he said, like, they were saying in their dressing room at halftime, if we cannot beat a Donegal team minus five or six of their best players, then we may pack it in. And he even said, like, he actually self-admitted that a Donegal, a full-strength team that day, in perhaps different conditions, ostensibly speaking, that he was almost said he'd be surprised if Derry had to win that. And it probably hurts that bit more, doesn't it?
I actually seen Paddy highlights of it last year. I don't know what it came up on some social media thing, and the boys still could have won that game. You know, there was very, very little, and we had a couple of goal chances. We had a goal chance here, two goal chances early in the game, and the terrible conditions. A goal was a massive score, and we had a goal. The wee man shaved the post late on. You know, so without, as I said, we the spine of the team. You know, Noel was gone, Rambo was gone, Malloy was gone, injured. And obviously I was missing. So without the spine of the team, you know, Derry, you know, you talk to some Derry guys and they said, listen, it didn't matter, we were going to win that game anyway. But I would agree with you. I don't think if we had a full strength team, I think we would have defended our Ulster title, and I think we would have defended our All-Ireland as well. But listen, that's football, and you just have to get on with it, unfortunately.
When I started going to matches around 93, 94, I was only, what, 6, 7 in 92, but there were some barren years there. No Ulster final appearance from 93 to 98. And look, Martin McHugh, a great football brain, went and won an Ulster championship with Cavan. Should Donegal, do you think, after 94, when, you know, the legendary Brian McInniff left, should McHugh got the gig then? Like, did the players want him? Because when you look at it in paper, especially over lockdown, you've still an incredible team there, Tony.
Yeah, I suppose, hey, looking back on it, Paddy, I was, you know, I was only really 4 years into sort of senior county career. So listen, my initial thoughts on it at the time was I would have preferred Martin to stay on as a player, because I became the player, I say this to anyone that asks, I became the full forward that I was because Martin was centre half forward. You know, Martin, I would always say that Martin knew a split second before I did where the best run was, and I, when I made that run, the ball was there, you know. So I suppose selfishly, I wanted Martin to remain as a player. And on the other side, you know, to be fair, PG had won the All-Ireland on the 21, and probably, you know, I would have felt at the time he deserved a shot at it as well. And unfortunately, Martin, when he didn't get it, you know, he retired, so we lost Martin as a player. PG came in. Listen, it was a difficult job for PG. Some of the players were coming to the end of their career. There was going to be a transition. Maybe PG let some go that maybe he shouldn't have let go, and that. But the disappointing thing, when you look back, we were still, even though we didn't make an Ulster final, we competed in two National League finals. We lost, like, so we were still, there was a nucleus of squad that was still there. They could have won, they could have been competing at Ulster and All-Ireland level. And listen, and hindsight's a great thing. When I look back at it now, listen, there was a no-brainer, Martin. You know, when you see what Martin done with Cavan, you know, Martin definitely, you know, would have possibly pushed that team on to be more successful. But again, that's the way it worked out, unfortunately. And as I said, we had them a couple of years, and it was tough to get back from them.
Yeah, remarkable achievement with Cavan. When you think about it, what he done 97. It's funny, Tony, just as a supporter, I've often just been asked, just people would say, well, what was the worst defeat ever? And look, obviously, you think of an All-Ireland final, 14, and various Ulster finals. 98, for some reason, maybe because I was only 12 or 13. 98, as a fan, that was the one day I was just goddamn emotional, even Clonus. And just because I think yous would have really improved. You got an old bad day again against Derry, who are a big physical side, and I don't know, I think he would have really kicked on. He just won that Ulster championship.
Listen, 98 was like 98 is still a sickener, buddy. You know. To be fair, Declan came in, and he was still relatively young and played with a lot of the guys. But he, you know, done a really good job, and we had a good Ulster campaign. And listen, I look back at that Ulster final, I would have felt I didn't play as well as I could. Some of the players, you know, we didn't play as well as we could, but we still had that game. That game was there to be won. We had a perfectly good goal disallowed in the second half, where John Duffy punched it into the net and was given by, you know, a dubious square ball. And again, in a tight game like that, the first goal was going to be a big score. Unfortunately, you know, probably got it late on, and there was no coming back from it. But that was a devastating defeat, you know. And listen, as I said, you know, we probably the biggest loss that day, it's surprising, and we actually lost Brian Roper. Brian had been playing great football, and Brian hurt his hamstring in the warm up across the old field across from Clonus, and I proved to be a big loss that day. And as he said, listen, I think we would have put up a better chance than Derry did in the semi final, and who knows, you know, what would have happened there. Maybe the barren years that followed wouldn't have. Listen, Armagh were coming anyway. Probably Armagh were coming anyway, and Tyrone were coming. But that 98 one was definitely one we, you know, we look back, and, you know, especially the older guys, and say that was one we left behind us.
Tony, you finished up then 01 in Newbridge.
Yeah, we were. I was sort of in and out of the team. I was struggling a wee bit with injury. We played down in Kildare. That was the first year of the qualifiers, and listen, I would have felt I was going reasonably well at the time, but I had a bit of a problem with my back, which was causing a hamstring problem. And I think I kicked 3 points from play that day, but I had to come off early in the second half with the hamstring. And that was a famous day that Hegarty retired in the dressing room and threw the bag over his shoulder, and Halla, Effin and Lulia, as he walked out the door, Noel had made his decision that he was gone. To be honest, Paddy, I decided in my head that, listen, I'll see how I am over the winter, and let's see what how I feel in the start of the following year. But I, as you say, unfortunately, the call never came, and a lot of county players don't get to finish, like, unless you're walking down the shadow of the Hogan Stand on your back and carrying the Sam Maguire and you bow out like that. Very few can bow out the way you want. But listen, I obviously, you know, I got on well with Mickey, but whether I wasn't his type of player or whatever, I'm not 100% sure. But it's always a big wrench, you know, when it finishes up, because it's the best part of your life and that. But that's what happens. And you know, I just went back into the club scene and enjoyed that.
People say you should never take these things personally, but life is all about human relationships, and whether it's business or whether it's sport, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, were you annoyed for 02, 03, 04? Because I saw you at club, Tony. I mean, you were still shooting the lights out.
Listen, it's hard. See, the thing about it, Paddy, though, you know, when you do get older, when you get into your 30s, you know, you do start get a wee bit of self-doubt. Have you got that pace? Are you fit to win the ball that you could win 5-6 years ago? So you're never 100% sure. You always like to think you have something to offer. But, you know, hey, when the quicker full-backs come out and get a hand in, then you're thinking that's a ball that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago or won. But, hey, at the end of the day, Paddy, it's down to the manager at the time, and if they feel, you know, you don't have something, that can be how brutal it is. But listen, I look back and I wouldn't have changed anything. You know, hey, we have different injuries and that. We might have maybe looked after injuries a wee bit better, but I wouldn't have changed the 11, 12 years that I played senior county for Donegal. You know, they were fantastic years and you know, years that really, really, really enjoyed.
And Cláin Laoghaire, Kim, a few semis there as well, but I suppose just came in an era of really, really strong teams in the southwest, and then the emergence then of Unions as a force, I suppose.
Aye, listen, I was involved, I think, at least 4 county semi-finals. We just couldn't get over the line, Paddy, and I don't know whether it was I remember 96, it was the old 15 league team, Division 1, and you know, a very strong Division 1, and we won the league. We won Division 1 that year in 96. We were unbeaten. We won 14 games out of 14, you know, which was a great achievement. But we got Glenn in the semi-final. We played Glenn in the semi-final in 96, and listen, it was just pure. Glenn had that wee bit of know-how to get over a semi-final. It was a poor game. John Joe would have marked me very, very well, and Noel was at centre half back, and they got what I would always tell to say, they got a dubious penalty late on. Noel struck the penalty, and hey, they seen out a 2-point lead going into the last 10 minutes, and that seemed to be our story. Like, we had some good Dunlow teams, but we just didn't know how to win them semi-finals, and you know, where we won, I think maybe won 3 Division 1 titles, but just couldn't get over them semi-finals, and hey, we're still trying it. We'll keep trying it till we break that duck, you know.
You remind me of the Rock and Roll Kids, the song that won the Eurovision. I think Tony Boyle is timeless and ageless, but how do you think yourself, looking at the modern game, do you think you would have to adapt so much of how you played, or how do you view that?
Hey, to be honest, Paddy, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I remember coming out of a game at Croke Park and some supporters saying, geez, you'd love to be in there. And in my honest opinion in my head, geez, I wouldn't like to be. And the way the game is going, you know, the defence flooded. And I remember meeting Sean Boylan. I was actually going down to get some herbs of him some years back as well. I think it may have been after the 2011 semi-final in Donegal, Jim's first year, you know. And, you know, Sean was saying as well, you know, the way the game had gone, you know, the whole excitement as a manager, you know, is your cornerback good enough to mark the corner forward? Is, you know, that adrenaline, and even from a player, because, like, you know, in my 99% of my county career, it was, you know, it was 1v1. I had to get the better of the fullback in order to, you know, to make sure that Donegal was going to be in a position to win. And if you didn't, you were put on the back foot, and sometimes you'd end up on the bench. So I wouldn't have been a fan. Now, to be fair to Jim, Jim adapted that game and developed it into a fantastic, you know, the defensive structure. What a you know, getting the ball forward as well. But it wasn't a game. A lot of people would probably try and tell you that I was a lazy full forward. that all I want to do is stay around the square. But I try and remind people, I played most of my club football in midfield and love playing midfield for the club, because you could try and dictate things from around the middle of the field. But listen, the game's probably ever changing. It seems to be going back a bit, going back to what it was. But you do miss them, you know, you do miss them one-to-one battles. Like, listen, Carter Lacey was probably one of the best cornerbacks that Donegal ever produced, and some of his performances against top-class forwards, whereas you don't see that anymore, because there'll be a second defender, there'll be a third defender, and it's tough for forwards, you know. But listen, the game it'll probably develop, and it'll probably move on again, you know, over a number of years. But there was a few years there now, it was tough for you, very, very tough for you.
Yeah, and I think we're going the other side now, and you're right, soccer, rugby, they do all evolve. So what's Tony Boyle's involvement currently in GAA?
Well, Paddy, I'm minor board chairman of the club this last 5 years, and we're been busy on that side, developing some coaching structures within the club and doing that. So I've done two terms as senior. When I finished up with the county, I was player manager with the senior team for 3 years, came back then and done the minors, and then came back and done another 3 year spell with the senior lads. A lot of them were sick listening to me, and I was probably sick looking at them. So I sort of took a bit of a break. I took the minor role on. So yeah, I have a house full of daughters, as you say, and got involved. They kept saying, "Dad, you never help us out, you never get involved in the team." So this last couple of years, I took another 13 team, and 3 years ago. So we have a good bunch, a very, very good bunch of young girls that are very dedicated. They've won two under 13 A championship titles, and they've won last year's under 14 A championship titles. Oh. So there's a group of girls now that are very, very keen, and that we have, I think we have six in the under 16 county panel at the minute. So there's a good bunch. And listen, it doesn't seem as cynical as the boys' football and that, but we're very, very busy at the club. From a club, we had a big fundraising draw last year. We were very lucky. We got it finished and wrapped up on the 7th of March. Little did we know that the country was going to close down afterwards. So we're planning to develop a second pitch at Dunlow. So that's in the plans. Obviously, it's been put on hold because you know we're waiting on some grants and stuff to come through. So the club is very, very vibrant at the minute, very, very active at the minute. So for my sins, I'm stuck in the heart of it. But listen, it doesn't replace the buzz of playing. But to be fair, when we won that, we had some great battles with our Dravis, superb underage girls team as well. We played them in two county finals now. We were very lucky the first day, to be fair. Martin Shullen does a lot of great work with the girls up there, and Vinnie McCollum. And we were very lucky the first day, we made a cut them on the hop. And then the second year at under 13 level, we were maybe a wee bit stronger and that. So we have some great battles, and it's great. And you still get a buzz when you won with a group that you've managed, you know. So it's we'll keep at it for another while anyway.
Good man, Tony. It's brilliant talking to you. Just finally, and I know we're stuck for time here, Donegal senior team, how do you think they'll go this year?
I seen the draw last week, hey, Paddy. I don't think you could have got a tougher draw to go to the Marshes in the first round, and then you know, if you get over that, you've got Derry, who, you know, under Rory will definitely have improved. And, you know, the young last guy from that's come back from Australia, he's got another year under his belt. And then if you get over that, you know, you're possibly looking at either the Ulster champions or Tyrone with a new management. It's going to be tough. I think Declan's done a fantastic job. Really, really disappointed from last year. You know, to win that third Ulster title in a row would have been brilliant. But hey, it just proves, Paddy, if you don't turn up on the day and you know the mindset's not right, you can be caught, and they were caught. And listen, I think we would have put up a bigger challenge to Dublin in a semi-final. But hey, Declan is a good squad there at the minute. And you know, if Owen McNeillis is back in the fold and Kieran Gillespie gets a run at injury free, and you know, I'd like to think Oisin Gannon will kick on this year. Listen, Jason McGee's come back, and there's a good group of young players, you know, but it gets harder, you'd imagine there'll be a bounce in Tyrone with the new management. It'll be interesting to see what way they set up. Will it be as defensive as under Mickey? You know, I doubt it won't be. So listen, it's going to be tough. But I know Declan and the lads, they'll not look past Newry, you know. And would it be a knockout championship game? I think, you know, the knockout last year, I did enjoy. There's more of a bite to it. There's more of a buzz to it, you know. So it'll be... Listen, I would still like to think I'd Donegal not be far away from an Ulster title this year.
Sure. Tony Boyle, a Dunlow and Donegal legend. Now, I'm still not helping you in the bog, and you need to start putting away your camera phone as well and actually give people a hand, will you? Thanks for joining us here on the Donegal GAA podcast, Tony.
No bother, Paddy. Thank you.
Okay, that's it for this week's show. Once again, my thanks to Tony Boyle, a Donegal GAA great. And just a reminder, when the National League begins, we will be moving to twice a week. You can find us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just simply search for Ocean FM Ireland. Bye for now. Stay safe and talk to you next Thursday.